This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
John Murphy, Steve Tasker in Orchard Park in our One Buffalo studio. Joined on the Subway Fresh Talk Hotline by one of our favorite guests. She is the network analytics expert for the NFL Network, Cynthia Freeland, fresh off her standout performance at the NFL Scouting Combine. Your stock went up at the Combine, Cynthia. I'm sure you'll be happy to hear that.
Thank you very much. I'm sad I didn't get to see you there.
Yeah, yes. I know. You were busy. They had you locked up over in the Dome most of the time, right? At Lucas Oil Stadium.
Yeah, we were there for like 12 hours a day. So yeah. I definitely got my fill of Lucas Oil Stadium for a week.
What was your impression overall of this combine? I know, I don't know how many combines you've been to, but what struck you about this particular 2019 edition?
So, the interesting part about this combine were really the number. I mean, obviously, this is a very defensive draft. Like, there are just some athletes in this draft. I was a little surprised at how well the wide receivers tested as well. We knew the defensive ends and linemen, and we knew that that was going to be, like, kind of the big focus, right? The edge rushers and linebackers, we knew it was going to be a nasty draft for them. But I don't know. I wasn't expecting the wide receivers to be such burners and to have, you know, kind of all these sort of great results. I don't know what's in the water at Mississippi State and Ole Miss and Michigan and all these places with these guys who just like some of these results just blow my mind just what kind of athletes they are.
You know, Cynthia, and so you brought out the receiver, and Steve and I have had kind of an ongoing discussion today. Look, I know there's 7 weeks until the draft. I'm not saying draft the guy now based on his combine performance, but
no.
DK Metcalf showed me enough at the combine to make me want to spend the next 7 weeks learning more about him. I mean, there's a chance this guy could be really, really something special, something different, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, he ran faster and jumped higher than Julio Jones at almost the same height. So, that's not to say he's going to be Julio Jones, but just to give you a mental picture of what you're working with athletically, he's insane. He also is about the nicest kid that I met there. You know, he is recovering from a neck injury where he didn't think he was going to be able to kind of be participating. He came up and we did an interview with him and he was like, you know, I didn't think I was going to be here. And he had tears in his eyes and he was calling his mom and he was just so grateful. He was just like, he's the kind of guy you want to root for sure. But I'm not, you know, obviously I do analytics, so I can't let that cloud my judgment. But I do know, you know, if he ended up in Buffalo, he would be a fan favorite very fast. He's got that personality.
The only red flag that came up with him was his three-cone drill wasn't all that good. But how does that equate? I know you've done a lot of analytics about what was important and what numbers are important in these things. What do you think about a guy who tests out so positively in so many ways and then has sort of a hole in his statistics?
It's not even remotely important. The three-cone drill is a good one for agility. But if you're saying, is DK Metcalf going to run laterally in space, like within such a small area, that's not even a route that's on the route tree. Like, I guess maybe like a slant that went horribly wrong, but throw that out. Don't, just in the same way. Also, don't overanalyze his 4.33 40. Don't make any of it too great, right? The point is that the ones that do matter, like his vert, the first 10 split of his 40, which is like initial burst, all of those things fell within elite ranges. And then that just says, okay, I'm going back to watch his film and to make sure that what I saw from him in college, and by the way, he was injured, so he is returning from an injury, so that's something people are going to have to take into consideration very strongly. And then that's what you look at, right? Like, get over the three-cone drill is far more important for defensive ends or people who have to move in short area spaces laterally more often.
We're on the line with Cynthia Freeland, NFL Network analytics expert. Cynthia, it's important to note that your analysis deals with, 15 years of combine results, and you compare position groups against each other based on those 15 years of results. That's how you get to your suppositions about who's playing well, who's not at the combine, right?
So So the way I did it was I took NFL data, like who they became, because there's a lot of things that are unknown. So, for example, are you playing a 43 defense or a 34 defense, right? Like, is it a defense with a lot of exotic fronts or not? Like, these are the things that matter once you get development and what happens in the league. So I take 15 seasons of NFL data, so who they were in the NFL, National Football League, and then I worked with coaches to create profiles by position of what the most important attributes are. So, you know, Antonio Brown is elite because of these things. So I bucketed every single player in the National Football League. They get 3 years to become who they are. And then I worked backwards. So once we profiled everyone into five buckets, then I went backwards and I put everything that was known about them on a piece of paper. And I created, so from their college resume to combine results, and I looked for correlations. So I found the things that were most correlated to success, but I worked it backwards because you and I and everyone else know that the philosophy that a team plays with and the amount of, like, you know, training and who you get to work with and how, you know, Patrick Mahomes had the luxury of not having to start year one, things like that, right? You get 3 years to become who you are, and then I work it backwards to find the lookalikes from the past.
Well, I got to ask you now about what – and I had let me just get back to where my question was. Hold on.
Yeah.
It is. Oh, I know. Sorry about that, Cynthia.
No, you're good.
Tell me about anybody in this draft, and compare them to guys who we know. Guys like Julio. What's DK Metcalf? How does he compare to Julio Jones? How does he compare to AJ Green? You know, some of the great receivers that you obviously have evaluated. Do these numbers of these guys in this draft, did your assessment of them shuffle around the guys that are available in this draft?
Yeah, so, like, DK Metcalf does have comparables to, a Julio Jones or an A.J. Green. However, you do have to look at his, like, college body of work, and you have to go back and you have to say, okay, did you see him on film run the routes that we would be playing with our team? Like, what do the Bills want? If you were looking for the Bills, like, which strategy do we want? Bills do need a number one receiver. So how do we, what role do we anticipate him playing on our team? And then do we go see that those routes, like the goes and the deep routes, the true number one routes, like, are those the ones that he's going to be able to do? Does his college film match the combine results and then also match our philosophy? So it's three-prong event, right? So it's, what do we see in college? What do we see at the combine? How would that relate to our philosophy?
Cynthia, one of the things you have done is gone through the combine now that it's over and came up with numbers that mattered. And look, we're overwhelmed with numbers after the weekend of workouts. But what were the important ones? What should NFL fans take away from this combine in terms of the numbers that mean something?
Well, I thought it was interesting trend-wise that this season, so if you take all of the 40 times for wide receivers and you put an average up, this is the first time that average, so typically, like, obviously, you know, the average doesn't mean, like, just the fastest people, right? Everyone who's run and what they've averaged. And this is actually the fastest wide receiver class overall that we've seen since 2003. So 2003 is when things really became automated with the testing. So it's easier apples to apples to compare from the 2003 stuff, because that was when, you know, the electronic timing was in place as opposed to hand timing. So
that's interesting. Are people faster? Is that as simple as that?
I think it's also, like, the way that they've been training, right? I got a chance to talk to a lot of these guys who, like, a number of guys were really training with, like they went to Kobe's gym out here in Los Angeles, where it's called the, like, Mamba gym or whatever. And ultimately they were doing basketball drills in order to, like, help, like, really, you know, train for specifically jumping and train for specifically, like, so I think it's a greater emphasis on, you know, training and how they prepare for the combine specifically. I'm not saying it's incredibly predictive of the future, but I do think it's interesting that they're so able to focus and specify. I mean, DK Metcalf was 1.6% body fat. That's just ludicrous. Like, that's insane, right? Mm-hmm. So he's not going to play at that. He's not going to play at 1.6 because you actually need to be a little heavier. You need to have a higher fat content to prevent injury. So he was training for these results, and then, you know, it just shows dedication and, you know, real commitment to what is being asked of them, right? Yeah. So I think that's kind of how it comes across.
Cynthia, I was telling my partner Steve here, one of the most astute comments I heard all weekend came from your colleague Daniel Jeremiah about Metcalf when he said, okay, time for him to get away from the weight room and get in onto the yoga mat. He probably would benefit from that type of workout now, right?
Yeah, a lot of guys do a lot of Pilates and yoga. Lorenz, like you got some people out there in your way who talk about doing Pilates all the time. So those are more like flexibility-based things. But look, they're asked to participate in the combine. Sure. They're asked to get results in the combine. And then next they'll be asked to show up at training camp and mini camp and all those things that are part of the NFL cycle. So they really have it down pat from a training standpoint. And that's what you're seeing these, like, freak athletes. Like, go watch Jalen Ramsey, like, he and his Instagram and stuff. You'll see he's in great shape, too. Like, these elite-level guys are doing elite things year-round. So they're really, like, you're starting to see the younger guys take to it even earlier than before.
How do you see the very top of this draft taking shape?
I think Kyler Murray goes number one. I believe Josh Rosen will be playing in Washington. I don't know this for sure, but I believe that he will. I have strong indications that he will be headed to Washington, and Kyler to Arizona. And then I think some defensive players will go off the board quickly. I think Quinnen Williams is going to be from the defensive tackle out of Alabama. He had, like, what I'm going to say is his combine results were exactly within the ranges that show, like, that help predict for someone to become above average or elite in the NFL. But they weren't, like, super burnery, right? Like, Rashawn Gary, he's an edge defender, had an even better day. But when I got a chance to talk to some of the defensive coaches and they talk about footwork and they talk about how many steps before you have to be headed towards the quarterback, by the way, the answer to that is five. Like, that when they talk about the footwork, it's like everything he did on film matched everything that happened at the combine, matched how he interviewed. That's the one who I think, like, if I had to say who's the guy who I think is going to be a Pro Bowler really quickly, I think it might be that. I think it might be Quinnen Williams.
Hey, back to the quarterback for a second, Cynthia. I loved what you did post-combine when you talked about people, position groups, stock up, stock down. And on the quarterbacks,
my Buffalo guy, I love him. I'm rooting for him big time.
Yeah, you had Tyree Jackson. Yeah, tell me what you thought of him.
6'7", really heavy. I think it was like 240-something. I can't remember offhand.
Yeah, 249, I think.
249. He ran like a 4.56 40, which is hilarious. And I know this is ridiculous, but when I watch their faces and when I watch to see if they're having fun and really, like, you know, like, listening and just enjoying the moment, like, this kid was just crushing it.
Yeah.
People were talking about nobody, and no offense, I know people in your area knew who he was, but nobody really knew who he was nationally prior, but he made such a great impression on literally everyone. Like, everyone was talking about his base looked great. There's only one quarterback who measured taller than him in the 15-year sample. Do you have any guess who it is?
Osweiler.
Nope. It's Mike Glennon. He's taller than Brock Osweiler. It's rare to have such a tall quarterback, but he made such a great impression. And people were like, you know what, this kid's like, you know, like, I'm liking what I'm seeing here. So I know I'm personally, like, I just was a fan of how he handled himself.
Yeah.
And he had the it factor. He had the great swagger. Like, some of these things that when you talk to, you know, obviously football is always like a marriage of, like, you know, the numbers and the philosophy and what you see on the field. And people were really, you know, people around the league, because I was like, who's your favorite sleeper amongst these four? And I asked, and I didn't get anyone to say anyone other than him.
He's got, in fact, his pro days right on the other side of the building here where we are next week. Yeah, we're looking forward to that. Next week he's going to be throwing here.
He just looks like he's having a great time.
Yeah.
I know that's stupid, but he's having a great time. And, like, his base looks great. People were happy with his throws. He made a good impression. I really, truly hope, you know, he gets a chance.
And one more quarterback I want to ask you about, though, in your stock up, stock down. Kyler Murray didn't do anything at the combine, and yet you had his stock going up. How did he accomplish that?
Literally the only thing anyone was worried about with him was his measurables. Is he tall enough? I don't think anyone went to the combine team-wise that thought he was going to throw. I don't think anyone thought he was. Maybe people thought he would participate in some of the drills, but I think everyone was kind of like, nah, I think he just needs to get measured. And there was, like, this threshold. Oh, my God, he's got to be at least 5'10". If he measures in 5'10 or below, it's going to be terrible for him, blah, blah, blah. He measured in at 5'10 and 1/8, which is hilarious to me. But that was all it took. And he also had 9.5-inch hands, hand size is something, especially in cold weather climates, that people are really concerned about, right? So that, like, nine and a quarter inches is really the smallest it can be. So he's in the range. 9.5 is fully fine where he needs to be. And he was heavier than people thought. He was like 207 or 208. So
I was going to ask you about that, Cynthia. Is there any question about him putting on weight just for the combine and not being able to function athletically like he has in college at that weight?
You know, that's a great question. I think here's how I feel like people are viewing Kyler Murray. I think people are viewing him as, if you want to play that style, he's great. I feel like a lot of people are kind of like I think Arizona like loves him, and then after that, I'm not really sure. People are more like, it kind of feels like if I were taking the temperature of the room, it says, you know, Kyler's gone real quick. We're looking at either like Dwayne Haskins or Drew Lock or Jared Stidham. Actually had a really nice combine as well.
Last question I have for you, and it's back to your stock up, stock down. Offensive lineman, who had a good week at the combine? Maybe not. What'd you have?
Jonah Williams. Yeah, Jonah Williams out of Alabama. He kind of was who he thought he'd be. Do you know what I mean? Like everyone thought he'd be the best, and he tested that way. But, you know, I was really – Iowa, obviously, so I went to Boston College for undergrad. So, and I'm telling you, there's no bias here, but I'm excited to talk about Chris Lidstrom because people were drawing comparisons between him and Cody Whitehair, who's another kind of – I'm going to say not ideal size or, like, weird size person playing tackle who they'll probably – you know, they'll move him inside. Chris Lindstrom's even been taking some snaps under center.
Right.
So it's drawing that sort of Bears Cody Whitehair, you know – that's a really nice comparison, really nice comparison, Pro Bowler, no big deal, just a really good dude. So he drew a lot of comparisons there. He did some great things for himself. He tested really well. His interviews went really well. That's a big deal, especially for the O-line position. Those interviews for guys like that, are they take those really, really seriously.
Yeah. Hey, Cynthia, I'll be happy to know that my partner, Steve Tasker, here is going to do an in-depth analysis of the last 6 years of our guests on the show and rank them according to analytics. You're going to get a good grade, I think. We'll see. We'll let you know.
I hope so. Let me know what I need to make that grade go higher.
That's right. Yeah, mathematicians are always welcome.
Thank you, Cynthia. Great talking with you.
Yeah, great talking to you. Talk to you soon.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.